Good morning. My name is Adam, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book Sales Day call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise, and after the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, just press the pound key. Thank you. Brenna Bueller, Senior Public Relations Manager, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining this month's Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book Sales Day conference call. We have both Alec Gutierrez, Senior Analyst for Kelley Blue Book, and Michelle Krebs, Executive Analyst for Auto Trader, speaking on today's February 2017 results, followed by a Q&A session. First, we have Alec Gutierrez.
Thanks, Brenna, and thanks, everyone, for joining us on the call. After viewing the numbers coming in so far this morning, with most major manufacturers having reported their performance in February, it looks as though the industry is going to surpass our forecast, which had originally come out at a 17.1 million SAR estimate. It now looks as though the numbers are trending in about 25 to 30,000 units north of our initial forecast, which had called for overall volume of roughly 1.3 million units, which puts us in the range of about 17.5, maybe 17.6 million SAR in the month of February. So far it appears as though the numbers are coming in stronger than expected, and a lot of that has been driven thus far by strong performances in the truck and sport utility segments, which is not so different from what we've seen certainly over the past 12 to 18 to 24 months. If we look at some of the macro fundamentals, certainly when you look at unemployment, the numbers remain in the high 4, low 5% range. I don't believe we've seen the final update from the BLS for the month of February, but that's where we're at heading into the month. Consumer confidence hit a 15-year high. Certainly we've all been watching the financial markets, the Dow Jones, which has been performing extraordinarily well, now north of 21,000 overall. So when you look at overall sentiment from a macro perspective, the numbers certainly support a strong performance related to sales. We dig into some of the financials from the auto perspective. Again, continued strong average transaction prices being commanded in the marketplace. In February, we saw the average transaction price hit $34,500 per unit on average. It's about a 2.3% increase year over year versus what we saw in February of 2016. Keep in mind, though, we have seen incentive spend increasing at a far greater pace than overall transaction prices. In fact, we're estimating transaction prices in February likely in the $3,500 to $3,600 per unit range, which is a 15% year-over-year increase. So consider that. Transaction prices only up 2%, incentives up closer to 15%. And if we look at overall inventory units available across the U.S., we are looking at day supply of close to 80 days. We're in the 77, 78 day range, and that compares to a day supply of around 70 days at this time last year. So we are seeing inventory build up across the spectrum. That is being followed by rising incentives by the manufacturers. And that's really helping to support strong transaction prices and overall sales performance. With that, I will turn it over to Michelle for her insights and analysis.
Okay, thanks, Alec. Thanks for everybody for joining us. I'll just echo a few things that Alec said. I think we should be careful. January and February are the lowest sales volume months of the year. I think we should pay attention to March and then later in the spring, May. Those are the strongest, so we'll get a much clearer indication of where 2017 is headed. But as Alec mentioned, there are some positive signs. The Conference Board noted the highest consumer confidence since 2001, and I would add there was buried in that report was the fact that consumers seem to be indicating intentions of buying vehicles. And we are seeing healthy shopping levels on our websites. But it is taking more effort and more money to move the metal than this year than last. We saw that that trend accelerate through the year. Incentives were a very important part of the chapter of the story in February. We saw a lot of President's Day promotions. Those are always big promotable events. And we saw shoppers, many of them who had time off of work, respond to those. We saw, interestingly, on Auto Trader and Dealer.com, which Dealer.com runs, operates about 60% of the country's dealer websites, shopping on mobile devices. So you could tell people were on the go when they were shopping while they were on the go. We saw a lot of auto shows were taking place around the country, and we saw a lot of auto show promotions in those cities. The other thing we saw is some 0% financing initiatives. It's an extremely effective tool to lure shoppers into the dealership. Quite often they don't end up taking that, but it does get them in the door. And once again, the incentives, the biggest incentives were on the usual suspects, traditional cars and alternative fuel vehicles like electric vehicles and hybrids. Some highlights that are AIS rebates, our company in Ann Arbor, Michigan, that tracks incentives showed the Nissan Altima, for example, had started out the month at somewhere in the $4,500 range. It ended up around $5,000 or so. We saw a lot of big incentives on EVs and hybrids, especially older Model 1s. 2016 Focus EV, for example, had up to $15,000 of cash on it, but also some 2017 models. And, of course, GM had a 0%. They called February its truck month, and they had 0% on a lot of trucks, and in some cases there were incentives of over $10,000 on some certain Sierra Silverado models. The other thing, if anybody's interested, used car demand was up again, up from December and January. And this typically happens in February and through the spring when people start receiving their tax refunds. This year, used car shoppers have even more volume and selection because of a surge of off-lease vehicles that are coming onto the market as used vehicles or certified pre-owned vehicles. And that's going to be a big story moving forward. I think the other thing I would note that if anyone thought that declining sales of traditional cars had bottomed out, they're mistaken. Mid-sized cars, if you look, some of them were down substantial double digits. Things like Ford Fusion and Chevy Malibu down substantially, and some of those despite some heavy incentives. I won't go into brand by brand, so I would say let's just answer what's on your mind. So can we open it up to questions now?
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And we'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And our first question comes from the line of Megan Lampinen from Automotive World. Megan, your line is open.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, guys. I've got just a couple quick questions for you. I was interested first in FCA. It's just warned investors that the probes into emissions could have an impact on its reputation. And I'm wondering if you're thinking this will impact sales volumes anytime soon.
Alex, you want to start?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. And what we've seen in the past with these sorts of probes, you know, if you look at VW, for instance, or if you look at Toyota back in 2010 or 2011 when they were being investigated for unintended acceleration, what we find is that when there's a high-profile investigation or a crackdown on a manufacturer for one reason or another, unless it's prolonged, unless it's sustained, unless you end up with a situation where there is a stop sale put in place, again, similar to what happened with VW with respect to their diesels, and with Toyota, where they voluntarily, I believe, withheld sales of Camry and a few other models, well, that was all being sorted out. Unless you have that sort of a scenario, you really don't see a pronounced and significant impact to overall sales volume. I think consumers, at the end of the day, are still weighing the cost-benefit analysis of what they are receiving in terms of value on the vehicle that they're purchasing versus available substitutes, and if the price is right. And we know that there are ample incentives available on a number of Chrysler products, that the investigation alone will likely not be enough to influence consumer preferences and ultimately shopping behavior, again, unless some sort of a stop sale is put in place. That's my perspective based on what we've seen over the last several years with similar sorts of investigations and manufacturers being run through the news cycle. Michelle, I don't know if you have a different take or
No, I would agree with all that. The other thing I think we need to pay attention to in the Fiat Chrysler numbers is Fiat Chrysler is finally doing what General Motors and Ford already have done, and that's taking down some of the numbers in the lower, less profitable fleet sales that showed up this month and I believe last month. And you know, there are a number of Jeep products that are in transition being replaced, being in sell down mode. A new one being introduced, notably the Jeep Compass. So those are other factors in terms of its sales performance.
Okay, I've just got one second question quickly for you. The UAW president recently confirmed that the union was going to be working on a Buy America campaign. He also suggested that U.S. buyers should boycott vehicles that are not made in the U.S. And I'm interested in your view on how practical a suggestion that is and how you would expect consumers to respond.
Well, our studies show consumers don't much care where they're made. Maybe that attitude is shifting, but we don't see it. The other thing is it's a complicated issue. What is American? Some of the most popular cars are, I think of the Ford Fusion being made in Mexico that I purchased years ago. It's very muddy water. So I think that it's going to be a much more difficult campaign.
Okay, thanks for that.
And our next question comes from the line of Deanne Durbin from the Associated Press. Deanne, your line is open.
Hi, Deanne.
Hi. I'm kind of curious about the incentive behavior in February, because you would think, you know, it's normally a slow month. Wouldn't it be a good time to kind of dial back and get ready for spring? But that's not really what we saw. And I guess, you know, do you see an end to this? Do you see that maybe at the end of the first quarter everybody sort of settles down and cuts inventory and these deals go down? I'm surprised at what happened in February, and now I'm wondering what happens from here with incentives.
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Deanne. I mean, I think that's something that we ask ourselves here in the office. I mean, you see where inventory levels are at, and I think manufacturers are making a concerted effort to try and get the numbers down to some extent. And you would think that in February, with the expectations and with respect to seasonality, that we all know that this is a slower month. So this would be a month where you think you could pull back on incentives a bit and take a little bit of hit to your sales performance, and it wouldn't really break anyone's expectations. But I think at the end of the day, you know, consumers have seen rising incentive levels. Those that have been in the market, and we know that, you know, your typical consumer is going to be in the marketplace for anywhere from 60 to 90 days, if not more, ahead of their purchase. But if they're keeping tabs on incentive activity and trying to time their overall decision to head to the dealership and finalize a deal, a sudden cutback in incentives could certainly sway them to either wait or to seek an alternative. So I think that to some extent incentives remain high because they have been high, and I think until we see a meaningful impact to overall inventory levels and day supply, that it's going to be a relatively slow ramp back down on incentives. But again, at this point, we're still seeing the trend head upwards, so we haven't seen any sign of things slowing down, at least for the moment.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Nick Zulovich from Auto Remarketing. Nick, your line is open.
Good morning, Alec and Michelle. Thank you so much for the time this morning. Continuing on the theme of the day, so to speak, if you could elaborate again on the inventory levels on the new car sides, days to turn, just your thoughts there, and how it might impact the used departments at franchise stores, the potential in-store competition of turning new vehicles versus used models. Just how do you see that potentially spilling over onto the used car side at franchise stores?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alec.
Oh, so I was just going to say really quick, I think you're right on, Nick, with day supply as high as it is and with the incentive load at $3,600 plus per unit, there is most definitely going to be a trickle-down effect impacting the used car side. In fact, when we look at overall performance of late model inventory at auctions across the U.S., we're seeing about a 2% reduction in terms of what dealers are willing to pay at auction year over year. And if you look at it in terms of retained value, which is that auction value as a percent of the vehicle's original MSRP, you're seeing more like a 3-point reduction. So ultimately, with although transaction prices on the new car side remain very, very strong, that overall incentive load coupled with a high day supply, not to mention increasing supply on the wholesale side from off-lease inventory returning in greater and greater numbers month in and month out, we are seeing not insignificant downward pressure being applied on used car value. So it is, that trickle down effect is certainly taking place, and it's something we expect to continue in the months ahead.
Yeah, I would just add, you know, from a consumer point of view, it's going to take a little bit more studying as to which is the better deal, the off-lease vehicle or the, you know, sold as a certified pre-owned versus a new one that's heavily incentivized. And, of course, there's two different stories there, too. The price drops have been most significant on traditional cars and less so, you know, truck prices are higher, stronger, and as are for utility vehicles. So it's kind of the mirror image of the new car market.
Excellent. Thank you so much for the insights.
Sure. Thank you, Nick.
And our next question comes from the line of Nathan Bomey. Thank you. Nathan, your line is open.
Hey, guys. So Deion kind of took my question, but I was just kind of wondering, I mean, like, with inventories continuing to go up and incentives also continuing to go up, are we, I guess, just to give you the overall question, I mean, are we headed toward maybe a bit of a repeat of, you know, pre-auto crisis era where, you know, incentives just kind of continue to increase to levels that then eventually create a crisis? I mean, is there a point at which we could hit some sort of, you know, crisis mode here?
Well, I do think that the automakers are more disciplined in terms of production. We've certainly seen that since, gosh, I think last June with Ford and GM willing to cut production of cars. You know, it started with Ford with Fusion and Mustang and then later with GM and Camaro and Cruze. So we, you know, I think we are seeing some discipline. So maybe Alec could speak to whether we're, you know, looking at a crisis level. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say that we're looking at a crisis level necessarily. I mean, I think we know that if you look at the quarterly financial results for all the major automakers, I think the numbers have still been very, very positive, despite the fact that we are seeing incentives rising at a greater and greater rate. The other thing I would point to is that if you look at the inventory level, while we are up considerably on a year-over-year basis, you know, about 10% or 78 days versus, you know, roughly 70 at this time last year. That overall level of inventory hasn't really been rising at a very significant rate, right? It's been a slow burn, a slow increase over the course of the last 12 months, while incentives have been rising a little bit faster. The other thing I'd point to is that while incentives are up, they are up relatively evenly. Even though trucks and SUVs are doing very, very well, you are seeing some of that increased spend take place in those segments. We've all seen the advertisements for heavy-duty pickup trucks with, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 off sticker. And granted, there's always little asterisks, you know, one or two available at this price. But also consider that with the shifting mix towards trucks and SUVs, we all know that these units also provide far greater profit margins for the manufacturers. So again, from a profitability perspective, from a stability perspective for the U.S. automakers, I don't think we're at a point yet where the incentive load puts them at any risk, and thus I don't think it necessarily puts the overall sales environment at significant risk, because ultimately, even if you saw a rapid pullback in incentives, and we cut incentives down to last year's levels or a year prior, we're back down to the high $2,000s, low $3,000 per unit. You know, there's not necessarily a one-to-one correlation in terms of available incentives and overall sales volume. But even if volume pulled back to 16.5, even 15.5 million unit sales pace, the industry is still built in such a way that production could be cut back and the manufacturers could remain relatively healthy even at that sort of a sales volume level. So I don't think we're necessarily headed towards a crisis level yet. Again, the last crisis we saw in 08-09 was more driven by the credit bubble bursting in the housing market and the implications there. And I don't want to get into the overheated housing market right now, but that is another market that's heating up rapidly, but more sustainably, I think, this go around. But that's my perspective. It's risk, certainly, but not necessarily a direct crisis mode ahead.
Okay, cool. Thanks, guys.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And your next question comes from the line of Rye Drewson from San Antonio Express News. Rye, your line is open.
Yes. Hello, everybody, and thanks again for holding this call. Michelle, I believe this question will be more directed towards you, but when it comes to sales, in February, Toyota has continued to see their truck sales either remain flat with the Tacoma or fall significantly with the Tundra, which is continuing a trend that started in January. Michelle, you said that we should wait until March figures to get a better idea of what's happening in the market, but at the same time, other truck makers are seeing increases in truck sales in both January and February. Why do you think Toyota is seeing an opposite trend?
Well, first of all, there are two different segments there. So, you know, the full-size truck market has always been dominated by the Detroit 3. There's tremendous loyalty. Both Toyota and Nissan have found that's a formidable challenge. On the smaller truck side, I noticed this month that the Canyon and Colorado didn't have the giant increases that it's had in the past, so I'm not sure what's happening there. But I do think we need to, you know, I don't think January and February are indicative of where we're going necessarily with the whole year. They're the lowest sales volume months of the year. And to really get a better idea of, you know, where we're headed, I think we need to at least get the first quarter under our belts.
Okay.
Maybe, Alec, you have something to add on the truck part of it.
No, not at all. I think you covered it, Michelle.
And just to follow up, we finally saw President Donald Trump speak yesterday in that joint session to Congress. Was there anything there that stood out to you that you think automakers, especially those who have operations either in Mexico or other foreign countries, is there anything that you think President Trump said that would indicate to them one way or the other as to where anything is going or any indications from Congress as far as border taxes or other sorts of...
I think right now the industry is in a wait and see mode. What is going to happen on border taxes? Is there going to be an infrastructure plan? I think what we hear from executives of all the automakers are, give us some clarity, give us some specificity about what exactly is going to happen, and then they can make plans accordingly. Obviously, the border tax is hugely controversial. There are a number of import dealers flying into Washington, D.C. next week to talk to their congressmen about how damaging they believe it will be. On the other hand, an infrastructure spending could have a positive impact on, for example, truck sales. So I think we just don't know, and there's a lot of hope, as you can see from the way the stock market has behaved, but the industry really is looking for clarity.
As far as that goes, my last question, you know, this wait-and-see mode, we've been hearing that, I feel, for months now. Is there a breaking point when it comes to, you know, when it comes to these companies, they have to make these big decisions. We're talking about billions of dollars and potentially thousands of workers. Is there a certain point where they just have to start moving ahead? I mean, are we getting close to that breaking point?
That I really couldn't answer. They are waiting on pins and needles for, you know, some specificity and clarity. I can't speak to any kind of breaking point.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And your next question comes from the line of Eric Lawrence from the Detroit Free Press. Eric, your line is now open.
Thanks. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I was wondering if you could just drill down a little bit more. I know you've been asked and talked a little bit about incentives so far, but I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the incentives specifically regarding GM and its truck sales this past month.
I think at this point, while truck sales remain very, very strong across the board, certainly with GM included, we do know that there has been increasing incentive activity even for in these hot segments. We're still pulling together the final tally and analyzing all the numbers from this past month on incentive spend, but if I look at what we saw last month, for example, if I look at Chevrolet overall, we saw a little bit more than $4,000 in spend on average, with about a $700 increase year over year. If you look at GMC, which is certainly more focused on trucks and SUVs, you saw about a $300 increase on $4,000 in overall average incentive spend per unit. So I think we are seeing increases in incentive spend even on a GM truck, Ford trucks, Ram pickups. The rise is certainly across the board. I just don't have any of the specifics on, say, Silverado in the month of February, at least right now, but we should have that, if not later this afternoon, certainly in the next day or two.
The other thing I would note is that what we've seen at work for quite some time is a couple different strategies in terms of use of incentives. So, the obvious one is inventories rise, you put incentives on to bring those inventories down. We're seeing that a lot on traditional cars. But on trucks and big sport utilities, we are seeing it more as defending market share strategy. So, February, GM did the big truck month. If you look back last September, Ram did a big incentive. They took some outsold Silverado, Chevy came back the next month and had some incentives. And we're seeing a lot of them are quite targeted. They're to very specific vehicles. They might be very specific to a geographic region. It's more, I would say, in their case, it's more defending their turf than just bringing down inventories.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll turn the call back over to Ms. Bueller.
Thank you. Keep an eye out for next month's call in details. If you need anything else, please feel free to reach out to the public relations team, and we will be happy to help. Thank you all for joining, and have a great day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.